Welcome back to this episode of the Strong Kind Podcast. This episode was with Aram Grigorian. Aram is on Instagram at 4 weeks to the beach. We talked nutrition, mindset, tactics. We got into some really good conversations about the realities of, you know, nutrition and dieting and fitness and combating misinformation. It was a really good talk with Aram. He puts out a lot of really good content. He is very much service oriented. He's also a really good coach. I mean, he brought in some awesome perspectives that I found really valuable. So check it out and appreciate you being here. All right. So Aram was actually just giving me shit for sending him the wrong link to start this podcast, which deservedly so. This is one of the big things. This has probably been one of the big revelations in my life. And I think I'm also going to tie this into Aram's content because, you know, Aram's content is relatively blunt while still kind, right? Because he wants people to succeed. And I think this is my interpretation, and I'll shut up here in a second, Aram. But like, he wants people to succeed, and part of success is actually accepting reality. And so Aram was giving me shit because I sent him a link that was just his email back to him. And I was jokingly like, I take action really, really fast. And sometimes I need to pause and make sure it's the right action or it's doing my due diligence. I go back and forth with my wife because I'm a doer. My wife's a planner. And if my wife were in charge, nothing would ever get done. When I am in charge, only the shit that like is kind of just needs to get done gets done, right? So Aram, like, let's start there, man. Like, reality. A lot of your content is like, hey, let's accept reality here, and like, let's actually set some standards and figure like nutrition and health out a little bit. Where does that come from? Why is that your brand? If I can start there.
Well, first of all, happy Friday morning. Thank you for having me on, and yeah. You know, I'm sure you had plenty that you could have done today at a fast pace, haphazardly, but you chose to have me on instead. So thank you for sharing your morning with me. The reason why I speak the way that I do and hold people to the standard that I do is because that's the standard that I was held to, and that's the way I was spoken to. And I wouldn't be where I'm at today. Now, I don't want to say that by flexing that I'm some far advanced human being that's earning a ton of money and has the perfect relationships and is living out all of his dreams, but life is pretty fucking good because it's taken me 40 years to build this. And that came from really a lot of challenge that was not easy to face and a lot of truths that were not easy to hear. So I just realized that that's the way that I communicate. It's the way that I was communicated to. And I think that's what the biggest missing piece of the puzzle is when it comes to transformation of yourself, is you have to be challenged because our lives inherently now are just easier than they've ever been.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we have to manufacture discomfort. I use that term very often on podcasts and times that I speak to my clients. Like, I'm not saying like we don't have discomfort. We certainly do, right? If you're a parent of three and you have to drive three kids to three different sporting events, that's a pain in the ass. But again, it's a pain in the ass in the moment you have to do it. But if you backtrack, you have to look at, be like, well, I chose to have three children.
Yeah.
I chose to put three kids into three different sports.
Yeah.
I then also know that I had to bring those three kids to those different three sports. So I don't get to also complain about it. I can certainly say out loud that this sucks, but it is my reality because I chose this reality.
Yeah.
So the thing that I find to be very detrimental to human progress is living inside the problem and not seeking an alternative solution.
Yeah. That's in 2020. I worked with a therapist. I was like in a pretty deep hole, and like the guy was, it was like a BetterHelp situation. So there wasn't a lot of actual connection, right, type of thing, but it helped. And the biggest revelation from this guy was like, sometimes the, you know, you don't find the solution to the problem inside the problem. You have to get outside of the problem and you have to start searching for solutions. And a lot of times he's like, the solutions don't look anything like the problem. Right. I'm like, what the hell does that mean? But like, the more you ruminate on it, the more it clicks. Right. It's funny that you talk about the ease of life, but I just think, yeah, you're right. We're going to manufacture discomfort no matter what. right? It's just, are you manufacturing discomfort that serves you? Or are you just leaning into the fact that, yeah, you created this kind of discomfort that you're just kind of bitching about? And like, so just give up the resistance, right? Like, do it.
It's the concept of stress and adaptation. Like, that's how we improve as people, right? You get a stress imposed upon you, whether that's psychological, relationships, you know, whatever it is, or physical by way of training.
Yeah.
And then we adapt to that stress, because once that stress is first perceived, it seems like the weight of the world. And then over time, the stress of it or the magnitude of it lessens because you start to adapt and to handle it better. So stress resilience, I'm listening to a book right now called The Anxious Generation. And it basically, I don't know if you've heard about it, but
John Haidt. Yeah. I read it a little while ago. There are some valid critiques of that book, I will just say, but it is very good.
I'm curious to hear the critiques of it, because at face value, it's hard to disagree with almost 100% of what he says.
That's the hard thing about it, is at face value, it's a very good argument, but the critiques of it are, a lot of the data and stuff are extrapolated. You know, it's the tricky thing about doing science, right?
Sure.
Now,
sure.
I do like John Haidt's like general takes on stuff. And I will say that the critiques I've heard are from people like John Haidt is he's a relatively conservative professor, right? He's kind of
politically.
Yes.
Okay.
And so a lot of the critiques are, and this is why I just don't think it, like, I don't, our politics, I don't want to get too into this, but like our political system is kind of jacked up because it just puts people against each other. Right.
Yes.
But like the critiques are coming from basically the other side of the aisle. Right.
Okay.
And some of them are like, you know, teenagers have always found ways to make themselves anxious. Now it's just very apparent what that thing is. And that thing makes everybody anxious. Right. Like,
yeah, I'm tethered to it all day long, but I'm tethered to it because of a choice I made, because of the profession I chose. So I don't find the cell phone to be unproductive, right? I don't find social media to be unproductive the way that I use it with the intentions that I have. But I posted about this the other day on my Instagram page, and I said that the problem that I see with most people is they don't have much intention behind what they do. They don't rationalize or place any logic into what they're actually doing. They're just literally going through the motions from one thing to the next. And then they wake up out of this haze at some point down the line, and they realize that all these problems have accrued over the course of their lifetime that they now have to backtrack on, but they don't even have any data or evidence or any type of measuring stick to figure out where things went wrong and why. And I'm dealing with mostly women over 35, over 40. So these are people that have been alive for a long enough time to know better. These are people who have families. These are people who have children that they've had. These are people who have very fruitful careers and relationships. Yet the simple measures of self-care escape them because they're just not prioritized. And if you look at evidence of the contrary, we have plenty of evidence to the contrary. I see single moms who are bikini competitors or bodybuilders or athletes. I see single dads who somehow have a fruitful relationship with their ex, and they make parenting work, but they also take care of their own health and they feed their children good food. So when we see evidence that things are possible, it's hard for me to then look at the problems that a human being is presenting without immediately offering them 45 different solutions that they just haven't really taken into consideration yet.
Yeah. Yeah. That the development of awareness is like often the first step, right? And so I'm just going to be honest, dude. It's like, I also like see a ROM and I'm like, this guy's demographic, or the people who are going to most work with him, are probably the 35 to 45 year old, like, women. Like, that's at least, I mean, a lot of your content is kind of directed towards them, right? Like,
sure.
And it's like, I'm being a stereotypical a-hole here, but like, you're also like the tough love that a lot of people need to shake through the, you know, the high intensity fitness culture, right? Or the, hey, eating zero calories is going to be beneficial for you, but also you can't just eat whatever the hell you want. Like, we can't reject basically energy balance, right? But what brought you to that space where you're like, this is the people that I help? Was that intentional? Was that just because of your background? Or yeah, talk me through that.
I had a lot of matriarchal influence in my life. Like, my mom was kind of played both roles. She was the disciplinarian. She was also the empathetic one. She was the one who kept me on track. She was a good communicator by her standards. So she just was the person in my life who I looked up to the most. My father and I didn't really have a great relationship. So I really leaned into my mother's affection and her, and basically just my relationship with her was just very solid. So I grew up with a very feminine energy, even though I have this very overtly masculine appearance. I understand what it's like to have body image issues. I understand what it's like when your body is hormonally not in a good place and it's creating all sorts of internal problems that you feel like you're almost a prisoner inside of and you can't escape it. And all of these insecurities that I've collected over the course of 35 plus years of being alive are a lot of the same insecurities that my female clients have, but they've never been spoken to in a way that empowers them. They've always been spoken in a way that actually creates a victim mindset for them and keeps them in that place of being stuck in that narrative, as opposed to you have a bad body image and there's a good reason for it. It's because you didn't sleep well. It's because you had a stressful day and now you're taking all of this angst out on yourself, as opposed to maybe on those types of days, don't stare in the mirror for too long. Just throw your clothes on, go to work and hope for the best, because your body image is going to fluctuate. So there's always a reason, logical reason for something to be going on. And it's not always these deep-seated mommy and daddy issues that we sometimes cite as problems.
Yeah, it's hard, like, because I literally just was working with a client who is, she's awesome, right? But she's comes from like a dance and ballet background. And like the narratives in those,
oh God,
they're so hard.
So competitive.
Right? Right. And, you know, like today was, it was awesome because she came in and she's also a professor, right? So she's got a high, this is a high pressure time of year right now. Right. And like the stressors of this season and that job and everything. And like her body this last couple of weeks, she's been like, oh, I got, it just keeps thing after thing. And it's like, well, it's not just like a psychological thing. It is a psychological thing in that, like, it, you know, pain moves around, like our attention to what's going on, like, is just, hey, what's the squeaky wheel, right? But yep. Like, what was really cool, and it's a similar thing, is like squatting has been hurting her knees, right? And her mind is like this, oh, I'm not in alignment, I'm not doing it perfectly, that's why it's like hurting, right? And I didn't go right after that. I went over like, okay, let's like modify position. And we went from high bar to low bar, and boom, shifting a little weight to the heels or a little weight to the hips takes a little bit of load off the knee and she can squat.
Yep.
It's like, boom, light bulb, right? It's like, it's showing them, right? And that's what you're saying here is like, okay, instead of being like, because this is what kind of the, I do think a lot of who we are, and me, you and Jim, when I was on your guys' podcast, we talked a little bit about this. Like a lot of our narratives do stem from our youth, right? But that doesn't mean you had a bad childhood. Doesn't mean you can just go blame the freaking world for your problems, right?
But well, like, and at some point though, too, and sorry to interrupt you, but like,
no, you're good.
If you're in your 30s, well, okay, fine. 20s and 30s are kind of a time for exploration. Like 20s for sure. 30s, you should be a little bit more settled, but you're still figuring shit out. The reality is I don't care if you're 20, 40, or 70, you're still trying to improve something.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you hate yourself and that's why you're doing it. That's not the motivation, but there should be a constant desire for self-development. But by 40 years old or in your 40s, if you haven't gone through at least one or two rounds of therapy, you don't get to bitch about your problems anymore.
That's a good point.
Because you've done nothing to remedy those problems. Like if you're still walking around with trauma and baggage, and you're in your 40s, and God forbid you have children also, which now you're downloading those problems onto every single day because you haven't dealt with them yourself, that becomes a shame on you situation that I don't tolerate anymore.
Yeah.
So when I deal with women who have body image issues, it very rarely are these like, you know, because the narrative right now in the fitness space is you're exercising too much and eating too little.
Yeah.
That's a tiny fucking subset of the population that you couldn't even measure on a stick.
Yeah.
So for those people, yeah, like we have some psychological issues, some orthorexia, most likely. We have some self-worth problems, but like unpack that before you start counting macros to the letter and start driving yourself into the ground with 7 hours of HIIT a week.
Yeah.
But the other side of the coin is the people that don't do enough and that sit inside of this, it's okay to be okay narrative. And then they wake up 50 pounds heavier with metabolic disorders, with type 2 diabetes knocking on their door, with mobility dysfunctions because they're too fat to move. And all of that stems from the same place as the person who's over exercising and under eating. It's a self-worth problem.
Yeah.
So how do you tackle both issues? Well, you have to understand where the issues stem from. I've had people in the past that I've worked with who are doing everything right from a physical standpoint. They're tracking their food, they're doing their workouts, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, you don't have a problem in that arena. The biggest issue you have is your mindset. So I'm not going to sit here and coach you on a fucking squat when you're eating 800 calories and going to bed at 3 in the morning.
100%. Right. And those are the murky waters that so many people are not willing to walk into, right? To actually help people, because either scope of practice or whatever, right? Some bullshit you tell yourself. But like what I think is like, because in this session that I just had, and this is, it's just so salient right now. It's like, I could have just been like, well, let's just not squat and let's not talk about any other considerations and let's just like give you some, whatever corrective exercise. Like, well, no, let's talk about all the factors, right? I'm not saying that all of this stems from the work related to your life right now, or from the stress related to your life right now, but it is a factor that we need to take into consideration, right? We also need to consider are you eating like a lot? Like right now, there's a lot of people who struggle with sweets, and then there's people who just aren't eating because they're like, I gotta stay away from everything, right? So it's like, okay, what do we do? And then like, yeah, sleep, stress, like, all this stuff matters, and being okay to venture into those waters. Dude, I think you guys, I think it was you and Jim were like talking about like loving yourself, maybe, or maybe it was Jim.
It sounds like a gym thing. I'll use that type of terminology, but it's hard. It's very woo-woo when you say
I
shit like
yeah,
that.
yeah.
And it's hard because people need tactics. People need practical application. So when you tell somebody to love yourself,
Yeah.
like, what does that mean? Masturbate? Does that mean stand in front of the mirror and give yourself like affirmations? Does that mean taking a hot bath and getting in tune with your, what does that actually mean? So I
Yeah.
think there's actually mental health tactics that you can take to improve your situation. One of the best things that I've told my clients lately, and this is a great way to leverage technology, is put together a journaling practice twice a week.
Yeah.
Make one of those journal practices a brain dump and keep it on the day that you feel is the heaviest. So let's say you wake up on Tuesday morning, Monday sucked, you got into a fight with your husband, you had a horrible body image day, you overate, and then you wake up on Tuesday morning and everything just feels heavy. Well, that morning, make the intention to sit for about 5 to 10 minutes and just get everything that's in your head out on a piece of paper so it carries less weight up here and it becomes a little bit more tangible in front of you. That's one journaling practice. Then you can use something like ChatGPT to build prompts to have actual journal prompts to start to get you to uncover certain problems that you know you have. So you can literally start to go into ChatGPT and say, hey, I'm a 45-year-old woman who's been dealing with food relationship issues and body image issues since I was 12. These are some of the things that bother me and trigger me. What are some ways that I can start to uncover these issues with journaling prompts, and how can I prompt myself to understand some of these issues?
Holy shit. That's
And
awesome,
then
dude.
boom, like it'll literally show you probably 7 to 12 different questions that you can ask yourself. And you don't have to do all of them because that could be overwhelming, but at least start to ask yourself some questions and reflect and take some of that time. And, it's the concept of like white space. My therapist talks to me about this all the time because I don't do enough of this. White space is basically just, can you sit for 5 minutes phone free with no distractions and just either be in nature or be by yourself?
The kids are calling that raw dogging, if you wanna know what they're calling it these days.
Stop.
Yeah, dude. They're like, people are
That's a
like,
real term.
they're like, kids are being like, I went to the gym and I raw dogged a workout, meaning like no phone, no cell, like, or they're taking flights and they're raw dogging flights. It's so
That I saw. That, by the way, I could not do. Like, I have to be, if I'm on a plane, I need to be, like, that's why I fly Delta, because Delta has screens.
And so I mean, like, part of it too is people get so overwhelmed. I'm around other like entrepreneurs and stuff, and they get so overwhelmed by their phone. It's like, well, you're doing this to yourself, right? And like, I'm on my phone too much. Doesn't bother me because I'm working on my business. I'm trying to create content. And there are aspects of it where like I just had a kid. I'm married. Like, yeah, put that thing away, right? No, get some boundaries, right?
Be
But like,
present.
be present with what you're trying to do. But like, the phone doesn't stress me out. A, also my feed is not a bunch of stressful stuff. It's mostly memes and content that I'm like either taking in, right? But that journal prompt exercise is genius, because if there's anything that I really can note, that I've had two practices that in the past like 4 months I've really worked on. And writing every day, it's crazy what getting stuff out does for you, right?
Now, are you, when you say writing, are you, do you mean specifically journaling?
Journaling, but I also creative write. Like
Oh.
I want to be a writer to some extent, you know? So even not just in the, like, it's kind of more in the stove. If you want to be a writer, write, like, you know, you got to get your reps type of thing. So
yeah, if you want to be a good squatter, you got to squat.
You got to do it. Right. And I, for years I've been like, I'd like to write more. I'd like to maybe write a book. It's like, well, so actually freaking start doing it. Right. Put your mouth where it's at, or money where you're, put your money where your ass is, or whatever. I'm saying the wrong thing. But the other one is, yeah. So like, you're right. Like, the just love yourself is too woo woo. But I do think, I do think before you go to bed, you're priming your subconscious mind. So when you're brushing your teeth, it's do some gratitude, like, hey, this was a good day. Just bring conscious awareness to the fact that some good stuff happened in your life, even if it's just that you have a roof over your head, right? And then when I lay down in bed, I just visualize like what I kind of want the next day to be like. And then then I spend the last, like, it's crazy because I go to sleep faster than I ever have doing this too. And then the last three things or the last thing is like a few affirmations, like, I'm strong, which is, you know, but like, I have never woken up. I haven't woken up as excited for the day as like this since I was a little kid. Like, you know, when you're a little kid and like the day is new and you have like
every
something
day.
Cool, like, that's what so many people are missing in their life, is they're not excited about their daily life, right? And so getting some of that back has been a superpower. But the writing prompt and like those journal prompts, I'm definitely gonna like utilize that because it's genius. So
it helps a lot. I mean, it's a great way to just have that, and that's the way that you use technology properly. And everybody has this very negative connotation when they speak about technology, like, you know, especially in that Anxious Generation book. It always comes down to intention. If your intention is to go onto Instagram and just scroll reels for 3 hours because you're bored, ask yourself why you're bored.
Yeah.
Is there not something else more productive you could be doing? And I'm not saying you have to be like 24/7, 365 productive. Like, it doesn't have to be this grind yourself to a nub culture that we sometimes also indoctrinate. But most of the time, like, I see adults not even utilizing their time properly.
Yeah.
And I ask people, because I do calendar audits with individuals, and I say, okay, you're telling me that you don't have time to put beef in a pan for 25 minutes, right? That's what you're saying. You're saying you can't meal prep. And I'm not asking you to sit there eating out of a plastic container, but I'm asking you to do some bulk prep so you have your proteins in the fridge for the next few days. Yeah, I don't have time to do that. Okay, cool. Let's take a look at your schedule.
Yeah.
And then when you start to actually see the gaps in their schedule in which they're truly fucking off,
yeah.
Because there's not, I mean, I I've worked with the CEO of JetBlue. Like, he was a client of mine for a very long time. This guy was on a plane 28 out of 30 days a month. I looked at his calendar on his phone. From 5 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. every single day, there was not a blank space on his calendar. Everything was blocked off to the minute. He had tasks going, but what he did and what he had his assistant do, because he had somebody else run his life for him, obviously, he would literally squeeze in, like, in the schedule, eat, stretch, move, eat, workout, and he put that shit into his schedule. I'm like, so if the CEO of JetBlue can make time to sit down and eat a meal, what's your excuse as a stay-at-home mom?
And that's a message that invokes, like, it's this is one of the big things I've learned about coaching in the past few years. Confrontation is good, right? As long as the intent is to serve and you're doing it out of pace, is what I would call like kindness, right? Like, but what so many people shy away from is, and this is probably my one big thing with like the John Haidt stuff, is like, we've really made it, we've become the oversensitive generation, right?
Yes.
Not the anxious generation, but the oversensitive to any form. Criticism is awesome, right? Like, because you can learn from criticism. Feedback is awesome, as long as it's from a place of, you know, either if it's somebody that you don't know, just take it as like, hey, they don't freaking know me, so I'm not going to take this personally. I'm just going to say, okay, what can I do to make this better, right? If they do know you personally and they like you or they love you, then it's just, hey, this is actual feedback that I should listen to, right? And that's what, you know, working with, people don't get the value out of my service if I pull punches. Right. If I, as long as it's about like the relationship, like, so let's just talk about 4 weeks to the beach. you know, whatever, like what makes you a good coach? You know, you can get on your soapbox. I don't really feel like you need to, but like, I think you know your value, which is really good. I think that helps a lot of coaches when they know their value and they know that they care and they're good. But like, what do you think is the components of a good service, and how have you found that?
Keeping people's attention. And that's really, I mean, we're fighting for people's attention because there's so many different things that are pulling their attention away and enabling them to lose focus, that my number one role is basically to be that constant buzzing reminder in the back of your head of the shit you know you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Because nobody's void of this information, David. Like, nobody doesn't know about protein anymore.
Yeah.
In the next 10 years, and this is basically, I would say sooner than that, we have a rising obesity epidemic. We have a rising type 2 diabetes epidemic. We have a rising cardiovascular disease epidemic. All of these things are happening simultaneously while we're also having an information overload epidemic.
Yeah.
So you can, and I would say that there's still a minority of people. I don't have any stats to back this up, but your average person, like I have 45,000 followers who like fitness. They probably also like other fitness accounts, but I'm a relatively small fish in a massive pond. Most people aren't, like, my mother doesn't consume fitness content.
Yeah.
Right. Your mother probably doesn't consume fitness content either. So there's a very large population that doesn't consume fitness or nutrition content, but the ones who do don't need any more information. Like, my clients don't come to me because they don't understand what macros are. They might not understand the nuances of macros or what certain foods contain, but they certainly know the concept of macros. They know that muscle building is important. They know that sleep is imperative. They know that hydration improves digestive health. All of these things have been battered into their brain for the last 5 years already. So why is it that that individual who knows better isn't doing better? And it's a lack of accountability. It's a lack of self-trust. And it's a perception that I've done this before and I fucked this up before, so I'm a failure. So yeah. Why bother doing it again? So what I'm there to do is remind you that this stuff is simple, it's accessible, and you don't have to be perfect at it. But you do have to be consistent. So yeah. By me being able to be in their ear, in their brain, in their vision of in their line of sight every day, it just enables them to push forward that one more day until it becomes less of a burden and it becomes natural to them. Because for me and you, this stuff is natural. We think about our nutrition on a daily basis. We think about our workouts. We think about moving our body, dealing with our pain, aches and pains. We have an intention around what time we're going to go to bed or what time we're going to wake up. We say no to certain things on the weekends that may not serve us despite having multiple invites to places. We're already living like that. Most people are not living like that. So by us reminding them of it every single day, that's the best thing we can do until it becomes a part of who they are. And then at that point, we can start to fine-tune variables to create very specific outcomes.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to put it. I mean, yeah, becoming the... So the fact that you brought up attention first, oh man, freaking love that. Because you're right. And I haven't conceptually nailed it down to that, but like, that's my goal. That's why I check in with people. That's why I'm a pain in the ass. because it's like, I want you to succeed. And yeah, there is a line, right? There is a line that, like, that if you're not going to like show up for yourself, then it's like, I can't keep coming to try to, nobody's going to save you. Right.
So let me ask you this question. Do you have specific bare minimum standards that you hold your clients to?
Yes.
Okay. So what are they? 'Cause I'm curious.
They hit the weekly check-ins that I have at the end of their training week. Right. That's the big one. And you know what though, this is good, because I actually probably should revise these. I should level them up a little bit, because it's basically you hit the weekly check-in and we have like a weekly touch point conversation. Okay. And you answer the big question, the questions of, you know, do I feel like I'm moving in the right direction? If not, you know, what needs to change, or what do I perceive needs to change? And then, like, what is your standard for how many workouts or how much you're going to do a week, type of thing? Like, their standard, that's like what
they establish, the client establishes that.
That's their minimum effective dose, and I just really try to hold them to that, right?
Okay.
But that question is really good, because I think I was doing it from the front end, meaning like, what do I need to do? But I need to help them create their standards so that I can help them hold, which that's a beautiful way to put it. And I think a lot of people overlook that. I overlook that. And I've been doing this for I'm in coaching in some way for a long time, and I have feedback loops, but not specific like minimum standards that are set for people when you onboard. So I appreciate you there.
Well, right now we're living in a time where minimal standards need to be upheld. Right now, like this is the most, this is the toughest time for most people, this season of life, where people are overburdened with commitments that they may or may not really want to go to, but they're saying yes anyway. They might be dealing with family that's more of an energy drain than a positive benefit to their life. They're traveling, they're being exposed to all sorts of sweet indulgences and treats constantly everywhere they go. So it's just harder to stay focused because, again, your attention is being pulled in all these different directions. But that doesn't mean that you have to keep being a victim and saying that, well, oh, my circumstance sucks. Like, you're not the only one who has the holidays upon them.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is something that happens every single year until you're dead.
You see it coming.
You know, it's like when I have women that talk to me about different phases of their cycle. And they're like, well, during this phase, I feel like this. I said, I get it. But you're going to feel like this for the next 40 years until your cycle ceases. So let's at least be prepared. I don't want you to be caught off guard every single time you start bleeding in January. Like, you're going to bleed again in February and March and April until your fucking cycle ceases. Yeah. Christmas is going to come every year. Thanksgiving is going to come every year. Halloween is going to be there every single year. If you don't have a plan for these things on how you want to at least conduct yourself at a bare minimum standard, like during this time of year, I don't expect to make visible progress on the scale, and I'm okay with that. That's acceptance level number one.
Yeah.
From that, how do I back my way into a set of actions that I can be proud of so that I can wake up on January 1st and breathe a sigh of relief that I didn't do the same shit I did last year again?
Yeah.
And that just comes down to saying, okay, maybe I'm not going to get 4 workouts in a week, but maybe I'll do 4 20-minute workouts a week.
Yeah.
Usually I'm in there for an hour. I don't have the time for that right now. I'm going to be okay with doing half of that work, but I'm still going to be as consistent.
Yeah.
Maybe I know it's going to be cold out in certain parts of the country. I'm going to try to get my steps in inside. Maybe I'm going to take extra trips to the grocery store, whatever, and just walk around, park as far as I can from the door and do those types of things. When it comes down to food, I'm going to try to order out less since I know I'm going to have more parties and more indulgences. So I'm going to try to control more of my own food consumption by cooking all of it. And then that way I'll have some flexibility on those weekends when I have those events, because I've eaten well throughout the week. I give myself a little bit of cushion. It doesn't absolve me of making poor decisions or overindulgent decisions, but it does provide a little bit of room, because if I'm saying fuck it on Tuesday night and ordering dinner because I'm too lazy to cook it, or if I'm saying fuck it on Thursday morning and I'm grabbing breakfast on the way into work, I'm now accumulating caloric load that I then have to manage. And then the weekend's going to be even worse. So I have to be able to buffer all that. So it's just those little decisions that people so easily overlook because of how overwhelmed they are, because of how overcommitted they are.
Yeah. Dude, that's what it's crazy, because it's also been like this for a long time, right? We haven't learned the lesson, like, oh, stop commitment. No. I'm a big believer in like the say do ratio, which is the more you do what you say you're going to do, the better you feel about yourself. But the people think, well, I have to do that. But it's like, no, say you're going to do less, right? Say you're going to do less.
Yeah.
It gets easier to actually, you know, keep up your commitments, right? Because where most people are margin, they're not failing because they're not doing stuff. They're failing because they're overcommitting this stuff, and then they feel like shit that they can't get it done, right? Or that, you know, that's just
unmet expectations.
Yes, 100%, right? So, no, I even just you that the concept of, you know, the minimum, even just the trigger of minimum standards in our brain, I think it flips a trigger. Like, what is my bare, what is the lower level, or what is my floor? And like, yeah, then let's actually get that shit done during this season. I think it's a really profound and good way to think about it. Right. I think some of the time as a coach, or, you know, and like you're always trying to adjust the variables, right, to help people, but priming them that like, hey, the next month, or, you know, and you do this when people are like, I'm going on vacation or I'm doing this, but like, hey, November and December, like, you know, that's coming. Like, what are your minimums during this time? Right. And that's super powerful. And I think that's a really good, you know, tool for people who actually want to coach people, as opposed to give a, you know, hey, this is the same program, or this is the same thing for everybody. Right.
No, I downgrade my standards a little bit. Like, I'm okay with it because I downgrade my own standards.
Yeah.
And this is like, I have all my clients, including myself, I keep a visual whiteboard calendar on my fridge. And it's very simple. If anybody wants to adopt this as a practice, feel free to do so. If you want to give this to your clients, I think it's wildly helpful. So I have a standard that I hold for all my clients for nutrition, and I hold it for myself. If I have a calorie and macronutrient target set, I'm going to try to hit those calorie and macronutrients between 90 to 110%. On the days that I do that, I give myself a blue check mark on the calendar. And then on the days that I train, whether it's cardio, whether it's stretching, mobility, whether it's strength training, I give myself a green check on that day. And on the days that I do neither of those two things, I give myself a red X. So the goal is to try to have a calendar full of checks and no X's. Now, is that realistic? No. I mean, the reality is you're going to have some red X's on there where you didn't do either one of those things. But what it does is it says, it's almost like people that are blind can hear better. People that are deaf can see better, right? There's certain senses that get heightened when certain opportunities get taken away from you. If you know that you have a week where training is going to be hard, nail your nutrition. If you know that you have a week where training is going to be easy, don't backslide on your nutrition. But if you have a couple of off days, know that your body's operating off the average calorie intake. So if you're a little over some days, on the days that you're under, it'll probably make up for it net over the course of a month or a week. So by doing these types of practices, you now have a very visual, accountable calendar in front of you. And then month to month, you can see what my standards are and what's happening as a result. So I know for myself, if I don't hit my nutrition 20 days plus a month, I'm not going to see any type of physical change or improvement. For me, at my level, I have to be compliant much more than the average person does because I'm that much closer to the top of the mountain. If you've just started out, you could probably get away with 10 to 15 days of nutritional compliance or even less than that and probably start to see the needle move. So when you start to identify these things and visualize them, it becomes very powerful because you become full control. You're no longer letting these variables be guesses, and you're not just taking chances anymore. You have a very measured approach that then can be altered based on the data that you have.
So I think one of the things that people get overwhelmed with is data, like track. How do I, what do I track? What do I need to track? And there's almost so many things shoved down people's throats, but the check mark system, man, like that's like in some iteration, that's what I'm trying to do too, is like, let's check these boxes. And am I hitting the 80 to 90% range? Right. And it makes it so much more, it makes it, the visual aspect is huge. Right. No, Jerry Seinfeld's m mention, or have you ever heard like D Jerry Seinfeld on like how to become a prolific comedian?
I don't think I have.
Write a joke every day.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
If you write a joke every day and you check off that box in a month, 30 days, you're gonna have 10 minutes of work. You're gonna have 10 minutes a set, right? And like it's
Yeah.
like, and so people don't trust the compounding effect of these small little tweaks, right? So no, I love the calendar system. All right, let's get into misinformation a little bit, because I do see in
Oh
I
man, how
mean,
about you don't have enough time for
I
this
know, I
section.
and I know, and I don't want to, like, we got a little bit of time here near the end here, but like, what are the kind of the big themes that you are, like combating, what are the things that you really want to address with people, so that they can ultimately move towards their goals?
The easy ones are that any named fad diet is not superior to just a general calorie reduction. So the only thing a diet does is it sets up certain rules that you don't currently have for yourself for your eating, right? If you choose carnivore, you eliminate plant-based foods and carbohydrates. If you choose plant-based, you're going to remove meat. So it's telling you to remove something, and it's providing you a structure that you previously didn't have. My challenge to everybody is like, why choose something as uncomfortable as fasting or eating only meat or eating only plants when you could literally just take the food that you're eating now and just reduce the quantity of it. Now, obviously that ignores and negates all sorts of nuanced principles of nutrition like micronutrients and macronutrients and quality of food and all that stuff. But for some people, that's a great start. It's basically just auditing, like, okay, if I eat XYZ things 3 times a day, and I want to lose fat, and I know that to lose fat, I have to reduce calories to some degree. I could just take what I'm eating and reduce the portion size of it. So that's an easy place to start. So I think to easily dispel the myth of like one diet is superior over another is just purely incorrect. And another easy one is any type of over-the-counter supplement. Any supplement that's touted as a fat burner or as a testosterone or hormone booster is purely incorrect, because if that was the case, these compounds would be very expensive and they would be effective. And that's why steroids are illegal. That's why thermogenics at a high level, like Winstrol and clenbuterol, are illegal, because they work. If they were legal, they probably don't work. Now, it doesn't mean vitamin D supplementation doesn't work. It doesn't mean the magnesium supplementation won't do something, but I would never go supplement first. Like if somebody asked me before they asked me any other questions, what supplements should they take? I usually start to challenge them on why they're asking me that question first. Does that mean that your nutrition is completely figured out? Well, no, but I just, okay, no. There's no, but it's let's figure out your nutrition first and your basic lifestyle habits. And then 6 months from now, when you've exhibited a level of consistency and mastery with these principles, then we can layer in some supplementation. So the two easiest low-hanging fruit for people to start to just completely ignore the noise of on social media is when somebody is saying that XYZ diet is more effective than this. If somebody says that this supplement is going to give you this. And the last and final thing that I think is complete horseshit is when people pick foods off the shelves and tell you how they're going to kill you because of the toxicity level in them.
I literally went to the grocery store and I was getting ice cream because I celebrate good days with ice cream. It's like my, it's, I do
fuck
it.
Yeah, right? You should.
And I'm like, every other fitness influencer would be like, you know, hey, don't eat this shit. I'm like I'm getting ice cream out because ice cream brings me joy. And in the context of my diet, and I want to touch back on this, it's like the closer you are to the pinnacle, the more dialed in you have to be. Right.
Of course.
But when you're training hard and you're living life and you're enjoying it and you're also within the parameters of like your 90-ish or 80% of your calories are coming from whole foods or what, however you want to make it out to be. Right. Like I eat oatmeal and Greek yogurt for breakfast. I have a lunch that's usually veggies and protein and some carb. Dinner is kind of the same thing. Like I can eat some freaking ice cream, right? And exactly. They're like, no, isn't that bad for you? And it's like, don't you always love like the people who are like not fitness oriented and they see you eating like something good, or like they see you eating like food, like you eat that? It's like, yeah, I enjoy food, right?
Carbs are the one I get all the time, because like we'll walk the dogs on the weekends at the beach because I live in San Diego. And there's times where it's really warm out, even in the winter, and maybe I have my shirt off. And that's when the comments start. It's like, oh, you must eat no carbs. It's like, no, I eat 450 grams of carbs a day. That's why I'm as muscular as I am.
Yeah.
Or like, you must be in the gym for 10 hours a week. It's like, I don't know that I work out for more than 5 a week. And yeah. it's that concept that people just don't understand. It's like they think it's like this extreme thing, because they watch The Biggest Loser and they see dickheads like fucking David Goggins yelling about how you're supposed to break your shins and that's what discipline is all about.
Yeah.
As opposed to like most people can't even get through the day without shaming themselves or fucking hating themselves. And now you're telling them that they have to go to these extreme measures. Let's get this stuff dialed into the very bare bone minimum. And let's start from there as our foundation, because we don't have an obesity epidemic because people are eating fucking seed oils.
Yeah.
We have an obesity epidemic because people don't understand thermogenesis and thermodynamics at a very basic level. And people think that the metabolism is just something that makes you lose fat, as opposed to the thing that catalyzes every chemical reaction inside your body.
So one of your posts that I flagged was the "it works for me" mentality, right?
Oh God, I hate that.
And so because I was thinking about this yesterday. It's like there's a lot of in the pain and the strength training world, there's a lot of people who like what they do is somebody comes to them and they make it make sense and they show them an option and the option helps, right? And then you get the "it works for me" mentality and it must work for everybody else. Well, it's like that "it worked for me" is based on what we were talking about. That "it worked for me" was based on greater principles that somebody else could, you if you distill it to the principles, we can actually make this, you know, again, I call it like you're in San Diego, like there's multiple, I mean, maybe not in California, but there's multiple routes to get to Los Angeles. Yes, I think it's the 101. I do the Californians from Saturday Night Live. Have you ever seen the Californians from Saturday Night Live?
It's been a while.
Man, it's so good.
It's the 5 and the 805.
Yeah, so I don't even know, but there's multiple routes to get there, right? Well, what a lot of gurus do is be like, this is the one route.
The only one.
What happens if the route's closed down, man? What if that happens if it's not working?
Can't. It's over.
Is
You're
yeah, just
fucked.
go die,
You
right?
have to buy my supplement to
Yeah,
figure it out,
exactly.
or you have to buy my book for more information.
Yeah. So like, how do you go about? I mean, you already have a post out, but like, when you're talking to another fitness professional and it's like it works for me, how do you debunk them, or how do you at least kindly,
So
maybe you don't kindly do it.
it's a great question, because I had a woman the other day who's a fitness professional who signed up for my training app. And as part of the introductory offer for people to sign up for my training app, I said I would calculate their macros for them based off their body weight, their goals, and a picture of their recent body composition. So she sent me everything over. I gave her calories and macros. She's like, cool, I'll start that tomorrow, but I prefer to do it. I prefer to fast. I said, well, you still have to hit those calories even if you fast. She's like, no, I know, I just prefer to fast. It worked really well for me. And I said, in what sense does it work well for you? She said, well, I like not eating in the morning because I enjoy being able to be a little bit on the lighter side of food because my stomach feels better. And then when I can start eating around 11, I can still finish my food by 7 and feel good. So what she did was she made a claim, but then she also provided context.
Yes.
What you see very often in our space is you see a claim and then there's no context.
Yes.
So it's like, I'm going to fast for 5 hours or
Yeah.
5 days. I had some dickhead come into my Facebook group the other day and do this. And he was actually advocating for people to fast for 5 days straight. And he's like, if anybody has any questions, let me know. I'm highly, highly, highly confident this will work for you. Now, this is a dude who's way over 350 pounds. He's a cop. He sits in his car all day long. He does nothing. He's the kind of guy that will share every fitness and nutrition reel with you and be like, what do you think of this? And like, that's what he's done with me for 4 years. He's never been a client for more than a week. He quit after the first week, actually, but he stayed in my Facebook group because I'm nice enough to have him. And then he's starting to fill my Facebook group with this trash. And I'm like, after he posted his post about fasting, I said, why? Question mark. And he said, a plethora of benefits. I said, name one. Crickets, nothing. There isn't. He couldn't actually name me a benefit outside of the bullshit that he saw in some reel that some other asshat came up with. So this is what we're doing now. We're playing monkey see, monkey do. Well, this person looks like they're in relatively good shape and they do XYZ thing. So I'm going to adopt that thing, regardless of understanding any context about why that mechanism of action is actually present. And 99 out of 100 times when people get results from these protocols, if you look at their average behavior prior to starting that protocol, it was a fucking nightmare to begin with.
Yeah.
It was no semblance of nutritional control, very little movement, high stress, poor sleep, poor hydration, overconsumption of calories. And then they choose fasting and all of a sudden they lose weight. Well, no shit.
Yeah.
You went from having no calorie control to having some calorie control. Of
Yeah.
course, you're going to lose weight. And nobody ever wants to talk about where their starting point was. They just
Yeah.
want to tell you the thing that worked, and they want to ignore all of the relevant details leading up to it.
Man, it's such these and so much of the fitness and health, it's just such these like partial truths that are so insidious and they like sink into people's beliefs. And then it like and it's so hard to combat without context, and people are never willing to give the context, right? Like, you know, like is it Paul Saladino? Like whatever, like, you know, it's
The
like,
carnivore. Now,
yeah.
I think he's 3.0 now because not only is he eating vegetables and fruit, but he's also added some grains back into his
Yeah,
diet.
because so it's like, you know, like what do these things initially do? Or you know, the wild one is like Jordan Peterson, like who has some good takes on like discipline and being a human, but
Yeah.
like he's telling people just to eat meat and that it'll cure everything, right? And it's like, okay, like this is the wild power of beliefs, right? And
Yep.
how they can just sink in and people then they don't question it, right? And you know, you're right. Like, 'cause me and you, we consume fitness content. We're critically thinking. We've also, you know, where I'm at now compared to where I was nutritionally. Like, there was a time, dude, where I was only eating like chicken breast and broccoli, and I was fucking miserable, right? But like, it was like oatmeal in the morning and then chicken breast and broccoli, like for
You were
3 days.
probably shredded
I was like 160 pounds. It's not hard to be shredded at 160 pounds,
though.
right? So, but yeah, it's hard. So. No, I think that's a great take. The last question is, how's your Achilles doing? Are you rehabbed? Are you feeling good? I remember you tore it.
Yeah, dude, full tear last year. I'm running. Went to the gym yesterday and did some like fun, like little athletic stuff, like bounding and lateral hopping and shit like that. I'm just trying to stay. I mean, I'm trying to get away from my meathead identity and trying to get back to my like my athletic ability, because I lost that for 15 to 10, 15 years of just focusing on hypertrophy training. So now it's like I have the muscle mass. And this is another maybe good take for either coaches or even potential clients to have. You do the fitness protocols that are necessary to get you to where you want to be, and then you get the flexibility to have some fun. So like if you're not quite where you want to be yet, and you're still like trying to squeeze out the juice out of that lemon, do the thing you have to do. It might suck, it might not be as fun, it might be more monotonous. But then once you get through to this place where like, okay, I feel pretty good, I'm pretty strong, I like what I see, I like how I feel. Then if you want to start sprinkling in shit that's random, that has not a lot of measurability to it or a lot of predictability to it, maybe like a CrossFit or an Orange Theory, or maybe like me who doesn't really follow a program much anymore, I get to do that now because I don't really like, there's not much more muscle I can build. I can certainly still build strength and I can build skill sets, and that's now what I'm working on. But I think people don't sit down to reevaluate their goals. It's always this very singular focus of like, I have fat loss on the mind. Well, at some point, you're going to have to move away from fat loss and start to address the loss of muscle and strength that you have, or the lack of mobility that you have that is disqualifying you from doing certain compound movements due to pain. So that's the phase of life I'm in, but I've also spent 25 years getting here. You know, like I get to do whatever the fuck I want to do in the gym because I have a body that I'm not unhappy with, and I want to see what else it's capable of outside of losing and gaining weight.
The lack of clarity around goals, the lack of why you want to achieve those goals, and then what happens when you get there, right? Like, so you're 100% right. Because if you're pretty jacked, like, and you feel good about it, then you can do whatever the heck you want. If you're, like, the tricky part, and I see this because it's kind of me, right? Like, we're kind of our avatar, if you want to use that term, we're kind of, you can be your target, right? But like, I enjoy playing sports. I enjoy, I've done powerlifting, not exceptionally well. Done Olympic lifting. I will do those things again because I enjoy training for them specifically for periods of time. But I have no desire to be like, oh, a world-class powerlifter, nor do I think maybe, I don't want to self-limit myself, but it's not really something that's a high priority. I want to squat heavy and deadlift and have fun. But like, yeah, if you really want to be really good, then it's like you gotta focus, right? And then you gotta pay that price. And then if you get really strong and you want to run, like, you want to run more, right? And you could probably balance a little bit of run. Like, this is the other cool thing. This is like my last big take is like, there's people out there doing the shit you want to do, right? So like, figure out like what they did, right? A little bit. And a lot of times it's they focused for a long time and then they started to sprinkle in shit that just made them happy and they were able to kind of like keep that going, right? Whereas what people do is they just spin around from thing to thing and then they never, it's like Homer Simpson or somebody spinning around doing the on the thing. It's like, yeah, no wonder you're not getting anywhere because you're not focusing on anything, right? Or you, as soon as your emotions say this is hard or this isn't fun or whatever, you give up and you got to enjoy that ride too. So,
I mean, dude, 25 years, that's what people don't understand. Like, I started lifting, and this is where I'll tell people, like, you know how like some people will invalidate people's efforts and say shit like, oh, it must be nice, your genetics are so great, or it must be so easy for you. It's like, no, I have to mindfully think of this shit every single day, and you don't. That's why we're different. But I had the advantage I had that a lot of people don't have is I started at 15 and I never stopped. A lot of people start at 15 and they stop at 22. That's when life hits. That's when family starts. That's when focuses shift.
Sports are done, you know.
Right. I just kept going. I was never a good athlete. I just liked it. I liked working out. I enjoyed working out. I was good at it. And I just kept getting better at it. But I explored. Like I was CF level one. So I did CrossFit for a long time. Realized it wasn't for me. Realized it's really not for most people, especially if you have body comp goals. Then I did, you know, what I called other branches of functional fitness, where like I squatted and then I sprinted and then I did kettlebells, you know, just CrossFit 2.0, if you want to call it that. And then I found my way into bodybuilding, not as a bodybuilder, but adopting the methods of bodybuilding, which is just progressive overload hypertrophy-based training. Unequivocally, this is a hill I will die on every single day. There is not a better method for improving body composition than that modality of training. I will stand up next to the foremost authorities on exercise. I will argue with this about this with anybody that wants to challenge me on it. Name a better way to improve body composition. I don't think there is one.
Yeah. But I mean, the only thing that is changing my mind, not say, I agree with you, but I think freaking sprinting, like keep people continuing to try to move fast, like relatively, is fucking awesome for people.
It is. Well, like, it's challenging, and it calls on energy systems that they never use.
Exactly. And I'm not, and it, from a body comp standpoint, I agree with you, like hypertrophy, like what you're describing. Like, yeah, you also just look at a lot of sprinters, right? And like a lot of them are, I mean, obviously jacked, and they're not really hypertrophy oriented focus, but like they're fucking jacked, right?
But why they're jacked is, again, like if we can go down the bioenergetics route, but most people live in a fat burning state.
Yeah.
But they're not actually liberating fat out of their body because they're never in a deficit.
Yeah.
So your body gets really good at burning fat, but it gets really shitty at burning carbs because you're not challenging yourself in these high intensity, short duration activities like lifting, like sprinting, like jumping, which require carbohydrates.
Yeah.
So people become very insulin resistant and they don't process out carbohydrates. Now, you still have to be in a surplus of calories to gain weight, or you have to be in a deficit of calories to lose weight. So it's not the insulin sensitivity or resistance that's preventing or encouraging fat loss, but you don't get to just eat however many grams of carbs you want. And most of the time, what we see the narrative of is we need more carbs because we need more fuel because we're doing more activity. Well, if you're running a 14-minute mile pace, you're not burning carbohydrates. I'm not going to give you 300 grams of carbs because you run 5 miles a weekend and all you're doing is barely picking your feet up off the ground at a snail's pace.
Yeah.
Most coaches don't understand bioenergetics well at all, and they overfeed their clients constantly. And then there's this really horrible narrative of reverse dieting, which applies to like 1% of the lifting population. It's the emaciated woman who weighs 125 pounds soaking wet, who does 17 hours of cardio a week and does all the weightlifting she can, but eats 900 calories. Yeah, that person is a candidate for reverse dieting.
Yeah.
But if you're a 35% body fat plus woman, the last thing you need to do is eat more.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I didn't get to reverse dieting, but I'm glad you got there. All right, man. This was an hour. I think we just opened the can of worms, but that's all right. So
we can do a part two.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you. I appreciate your takes, your honesty, and practicing what you preach. So where can folks find you?
All of my debauchery is on 4 weeks to the beach. So the number 4 weeks to the beach is where I spend all my time on Instagram. If you have questions for me, DM me. I will always respond to you. I don't really offer, I don't sell it. I'm not a salesperson. If you want to buy something, you certainly could, but that's not what I'm here for. I want to help first and give you a bunch of solutions to your problems and then be the resource if you need it at some point down the line.
It's a good way to do business. I like it. So I appreciate you coming on. Happy holidays. Enjoy San Diego in the winter. I'm envious of that. But
where are you at?
I'm in Iowa.
Ugh.
I've almost thrown on my hat like 4 times because my basement's pretty cold. So, but I'll just throw it out on the end. But man, wow. I love California. Are you from California originally?
No, I grew up in Connecticut, so I was in the cold too.
Yeah. Oh man, you transplanted.
I'm just done with it, dude. I don't have the tolerance. Like in California right now, because I'm a little bit inland, like in the mornings, it's like 50 degrees.
Yeah.
And that's cold enough for me.
Dude, I love California. 50 degrees. I did an internship in Santa Barbara, and then we were actually in California. We were kind of in, we were near San Jose.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And so I spent a decent time. I love California. It's incredible. Right. There's a reason that everybody wants to live, at least kind of near coastal stuff. So yeah, enjoy the weather for me. Appreciate you coming on, and your 4 weeks to the beach will be in the show notes, and happy holidays.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.